Well, Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that your word develops faith in our heart. And we ask, Holy Spirit, would you teach us the things of God? Would you teach us the subject of prayer tonight? Would you encourage every heart, Father? Lord, we even pray those who will hear the recording, they would be stirred in their walk with the Spirit and their prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the Holy Spirit and our prayer life. The Holy Spirit and our prayer life. This is probably part 10 on our Holy Spirit series. I haven't kept exact count. But we've been ever since early November, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. I thought it would be fitting to end the year on a message on prayer. And it just kind of happened to work out that way. I didn't really, plan it way in advance, but it just so happened that we've talked about the gifts, we've talked about the fruit, we've talked about a whole bunch of stuff, and now how do the Holy Spirit and our prayer life work together? This is important stuff. So let's go down to the intro, number one. 1A. Just a little, some introductory thoughts here before we dive into the heart of the message. The role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian, in our life, it cannot be overstated, in my opinion. It cannot be overstated, and it must not be understated, the importance of God the Spirit in our life. I've said this for a number of weeks, but we tend to talk about Jesus, and good Father. But the Holy Spirit is really not discussed a lot, kind of unknown. Is he kind of partially God? Is he God light? Is he God junior? Like, what is the Holy Spirit? And I want to affirm tonight that the Holy Spirit is fully God. The third person of the Trinity is fully God. And we're going to go through a number of verses tonight. We must learn to relate to the Holy Spirit like we relate to the Father or to the Son. One God, three persons. But what we're going to look at here is Jesus talked much about the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the early church is extremely pronounced in the book of Acts and the Gospels and the letters. And so this is something we, I believe, must give earnest attention to, is our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus went so far as to say, which this blows my mind, he went so far as to say that it's better that he leave the earth physically so that we could have the Holy Spirit internally. And that's just an odd thing that he said in John 16:7. We'll look at that in a minute. But he says, guys, if I don't leave physically, the Helper, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, won't come inside of you. And so I have to leave so that will happen, so that I send him to you. And this is what I think. I would rather have Jesus just standing right there, go, hey, Jesus, what do you think about this? I don't like it. Okay, now I know what you think. Like, that seems way more of a fun way to live Christianity than having to, like, have a spirit inside of my spirit that I sense. And, it just seems like, a step back to me. But Jesus said, it's advantageous that I do this, that you have the Spirit in your spirit. Now, put here, God in the flesh, physically interacting with his followers, which he did for 3 years, the Creator God who spoke Genesis 1, physically came into the form of a person, Jesus, the Son of God, and interacted with humanity for 3 years. 33 years. 3 years in ministry, 33 years total, give or take. And he says, that's not even as good as my Spirit indwelling you. Which is, to me, it's kind of a mystery. And just for the record, the Holy Spirit literally lives inside of your spirit. When you said yes to the Lord, he moved in. You might not have felt it, but there's a place on the inside of you, your spirit, that he moved into. Because we're triune beings. We're body, soul, and spirit. Before we're saved, that thing is just vacant. Once we're saved, God's Spirit comes in. The very fullness of God is inside of you. You have every gift. You have all power. All of that's inside of you. And then the rest of your life in Christ essentially becomes, how do I surrender and let that be released through my life? So the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, and we need to learn how to relate to Him. Let's go to read John 16:7 real quick. Jesus said it, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Whenever the truth says I'm telling the truth, it's like double truth. "Nevertheless, I've never not said anything true, but this is really going to be true. It's to your advantage that I go away." He meant back to the Father in heaven. "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. I just read the other day in Ezekiel 36:27, Ezekiel prophesying of a time future, where God says, "I will put my Spirit in you." It won't just come upon you. It says, Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord would come on him at times. But Ezekiel began to speak of a time where the Spirit of God would inhabit people and live in them. And it says, move them to do what's right. And this is what we as New Testament believers, we have the privilege of not God's hand coming on us. You know, "Oh, it came on me for a minute and I prophesied. Now it's back off for a month. And oh, it's back on me." God Himself moved into you. You're His temple, Paul says. You're the temple now. He's in you. And I just think that is intense. We didn't feel different the day that happened. Some people have said, "I felt different." But it wasn't like, you know, an earthquake happened and lightning struck you and all these things. It just happened kind of like the wind blows by. And it's just now you have the reality of God's Spirit in you. But Ezekiel says He's in you and He's moving on you to follow God's decrees and to be careful to obey Him. So we don't just have help from the outside. We have internal help. We have something on the inside directing us and guiding us. Now let's go to number two. That was just a little bit of a foundation there. The Holy Spirit in our prayer life. Paul says just a really interesting statement in Romans 8:26. I have it written here. Excuse me. He says, "The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses." So the Holy Spirit that's inside helps us in all of our, we have so many weaknesses in our life in God. But he goes on to say specifically, we don't even know what to pray for. It's such an odd thing that Paul would zero in on. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit, this is what's so interesting, the Spirit makes intercession for us. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul begins to talk about one of the roles of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you is actively interceding for you. So deep within your being, God's Spirit's in there. I don't fully get it. And Paul says He's in there sighing, groaning in prayer to strengthen you. I mean, what a concept. I mean, that's just to think of God coming in you and just going, strengthen that man. Like, it's just kind of, whoa, you are really serious about me walking with you, you know. The word groaning literally means sighing. It's only used like twice in the New Testament. And they both kind of seem like, whoa, that's intense. The Spirit helps us. He helps us to know what to pray for. He's in us. And He's groaning. Now, a lot of people I've heard, you know, talk about the groans. They've tried to define it this way or that way. I think ultimately what we need to realize is this is really happening. Some people try to do the groans and some people try to do the sighs. And that's awesome. Do it. Like, if the Lord leads you into that, do that. But I think the major point Paul's making is that God is actually in you, really praying for you. so intense. Now, many believers go their whole life, don't even know the Holy Spirit's inside of them, have no idea. They've never connected to it. And Paul says he's not only in you, he's groaning. He knows you're weak. He's so intensely sighing, grieving in prayer for you to be strengthened in the things of God. Paul elaborates on that more in verse 27. He elaborates more on that in verse 32. But Paul presents a Godhead that is interceding. A Jesus that's praying, a Holy Spirit that's praying, and a Father that's praying. They're talking to one another and they're releasing things by intercession. It's a really interesting subject. We're not going to break it all down tonight. But now, if the Holy Spirit's praying inside of us, that means so much to our prayer life. Let's go to letter A here. Just a rehash quickly. Paul makes it clear the problem we all have is specifically that we are weak and we don't even know how to pray. Guys, the reason why prayer is mostly skirted as a side issue for many people, sincere people, they love God, but prayer, it's like really a lot of prayer or any, you know, let's be practical. The real reason is because we are exceptionally devoid on this subject apart from the Holy Spirit helping us. The reason why we push it aside, the reason why we don't emphasize it is because biblically, scripturally, this is a profound weakness in the life of the believer that Paul himself says, Romans, church, you have to know, you must have the Spirit to even begin praying. Or this just won't happen. You're just that weak. You won't one day wake up and just have make a decision. I'm going to be deep in prayer the rest of my life. No, that takes God's Spirit connecting with you. So prayer or talking to and hearing from God, it's one of the most important aspects of our walk with God. I put here, without a prayer life. I mean, the example I always use, you know, the married couple. We got two folks in here about to get married. If they exchange vows and then never talk again, that gets interesting real quick. Like, I love you. I love you too. Silence. Year two, three, four, five. It's just no one would ever do that. But many Christians try to do the Christianity thing without talking to him. And they're like, why isn't this really working? You're in a covenant relationship with a real person who really has words and feelings. You need to talk to him. And if you do, he'll talk to you. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. This is crucial. But Paul says, we're weak at it. We have to begin to relate and fellowship with the Holy Spirit to strengthen in this critical thing called prayer. I put here, God has always wanted a heart relationship with us before a working relationship. You know, people say, well, I don't got time for prayer. I got to do the works of the kingdom. I got to go evangelize. I got to do this. And those all need to be done. But if it's replacing our personal relationship with the Lord, it doesn't go far. It doesn't really work long term. The people I know personally who are most energized in doing the works, they have the greatest depth in their walk with God. The people who are most energized, most consistent, reaching the most people, they have a real, genuine prayer life. So I want this. I want to do it. I want you guys to do it. Okay, let's go to the solution. So the problem is we're weak in prayer. What's the solution? God invites us to acknowledge the Spirit's role to develop a prayer life. He invites us to acknowledge the guidance of the Spirit. Jesus said, if I go, I will send him. God the Spirit was sent to help us, to teach us, to comfort us. And the Spirit will guide us into a mature prayer life as we talk to him about prayer. Put a little prayer here. You can, you know, put your own words into it. A little prayer to kind of help jumpstart. What I would do is if you're like, oh man, I want to get a prayer life going, just begin to talk to the Holy Spirit And guys, it's the same as talking to the Father. It's the same as talking to Jesus. But talk to the Holy Spirit. Get comfortable in the secret place saying, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Teach me prayer. You're the greatest theologian on prayer on the planet, in the universe. Teach me prayer. The more you begin to relate to Him as a real person, the more you'll be inspired in this stuff. Say, Lord, guide me into the depths of God. I acknowledge and submit to your role as the all-wise teacher on the subject and reality of prayer. I tell you what, we got a lot of good resources online. We got great Bible colleges. It's all great. Use all of it. But the greatest theologian, the greatest teacher, it's the very Spirit of God. Talk directly to Him. Talk to the Lord. Ask Him. Show me prayer. Teach me prayer. Now let's just go. I put three just basic ways. Number three, the three ways that the Spirit helps us in prayer. Now there's so many ways He helps us in prayer. These are kind of the general high-level ones here. Kind of just rehash here. The Holy Spirit prays for us. You gotta know this. Gotta believe this. Get this in your mind and in your emotions. Man, I'm having a tough day. Oh, the Holy Spirit's praying for me right now. Just begin to talk to the Holy Spirit. What are you doing right now? What are you saying? How are you praying for me? How can I talk to you right now? What's on your heart, Holy Spirit? I put here, deep within the recesses of our spirit. Just repeating myself. Deep within the recesses of our spirit, God the Spirit is groaning in prayer. What I think is interesting is that Paul says that these groans can't be uttered. And so I don't think it necessarily means we can't groan or sigh in prayer. But I think what Paul's trying to say here is that we just cannot possibly give language to what exactly the Spirit of God's praying way down in there. And I don't know, you know, how far down He is, or I don't even know how that works. We know that God has profound depths to Himself. I mean, He Himself is deep. There's so much depth in God. So I don't know how deep it is inside our spirit. I just, one day we'll go to heaven and be like, teach us, what is the Spirit? You know, and he'll unpack it. And we'll be like, unbelievable. But the reality is, or the truth is, that these prayers the Spirit's praying, there's just no words. There's no way to really fully translate what all's going on there. Which is very, I think, interesting. Unutterable groans, unspeakable groans. He's sighing in intercession for our life. I mean, sometimes when you're weak and you're weary, just remember, Jesus is praying for me. The Spirit is groaning for me. I don't think I'm going to do that sinful thing I wanted to do because the Holy Spirit's groaning that I wouldn't. Jesus is pleading with the Father that I would move into victory. Like, sometimes that just kind of like scares you straight. It's like Jesus is up there praying for me all the time. I better do right. Now, I think it's okay to groan. It's okay to sigh. Do your thing. Whatever. You know, if you're in a corporate meeting, just kind of keep it, you know, keep it kind of to yourself a little bit. And you're at home, you know, just cut loose. Utter and groan all you want. But I think what Paul's saying is, There is a groan or a sigh that is just beyond words on the inside. And that's awesome. That's cool. I think the truth is intended to comfort us and to help us, just so we know God's praying. I don't know if you've ever just one day been in a funk and then you were not in a funk, like something happened. So often, You broke through because God prayed for you. And sometimes He rose up someone to pray for you and you have no idea, but someone prayed for you and just total breakthrough. But many times God just says, I have this one. I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to groan and I'm going to intercede and ask the Father to release a blessing on you and you break through. Now, I realize if this subject's totally new to you, you're like, what? Jesus is in heaven praying and the Spirit's groaning? I always tell people at the bottom of my notes, every notes I hand out is, if this is not in the Bible, don't believe it. But if it is, believe it. Believe this. If there's verses on it, go give yourself to it. Because it's the truth. Okay. Romans 8:26. The Spirit makes intercession for us. Us. Put your name there. For me. For, you know, Kelsey, Carrie, Ken, Lexi, Mercy. The Spirit makes intercession for me. Wow, awesome. I'm on his prayer list. So cool. I remember one time I emailed Mike Bickle. I email him like once a year, and he usually gets back to me. And so it ruined my excuse to never respond to people's emails. I was like, dang, man, if he gets back to me, I got to respond to everybody. And I was like, that guy's 800 times busier. And he said, I had a specific thing I said, and in his email he said, I will put you on my personal prayer list for this. I was just like, oh my word. And I was so convicted. I'm just like, unbelievable. And I was just like, I'm reading the email going, what? Little me, Peoria, like, your personal prayer list, like, settle down. Don't do that. Like, just kind of wanted you to feel pity for me or something, but like, don't actually go that far, Mike. I'm like, you got like nations to worry about. Like, you know, I just kind of freaked out. And the Lord's like, as impressed as I was by that, the Spirit says, you're on my prayer list. God's. The Spirit says, I am actively lifting you up. I mean, it's great if you can, you know, get your, you know, people praying for you, but just, and we need more people praying for us. I mean, we don't say, okay, the Spirit's got this. We don't do anything. No, we partner, definitely. But he wants us to see that and go, this is more intense than Father Nash or, you know, E.M. Bounds or somebody praying for it. This is more than praying high, lifting us up. This is the Spirit of the living God in us interceding for us. It's important. Let's go to number two. The Holy Spirit prays through us. Oh, man, it just cracks me up every time. Every time I think of that, I'm like, oh, man, I need to be praying for more people. If he just was so gracious to do that. Oh, God's funny. Okay, the Spirit prays for us, number one, through us, number two. This is interesting. So he lifts you up personally. He's also wanting to pray through you. I put whether it's your prayer language, which is speaking in tongues, or your common language, most of you, that's English. Some of you are very smart and speak multiple languages, but whether your prayer language or your common language, the Spirit often will bring to mind different ways of praying and different topics to pray. And often we don't know it's Him doing it, but He is doing it. And we just have no ability to give Him credit because we didn't know He was the one that brought that to mind. So often we just all of a sudden we're like, man, I just want to be thankful today. And the Holy Spirit was down there groaning, going, ooh, move him toward thankfulness. Or sometimes we're like, let's do an Israel prayer night. We're thinking we're all geniuses. And the Holy Spirit was directing our mind to land on Israel that night. And so he's often very jealously, you know, zealously and jealously wanting something to get prayer. And so he'll direct our heart and mind. And, you know, some people get so bent out of shape, like, I think, you know, I don't know if we fully did it. I mean, I was like hoping we, and I don't think we're supposed to feel bad all the time. I think that, you know, we go with what we sense and we just trust the Lord used it. Don't get into the habit of like being in condemnation every time you go to a prayer meeting. I don't know if we made, you know, just go with what you think is right. And if there's a clear impression, run with it. If it's just kind of a, not really an impression, you just go with whatever you thought. Just don't try to like judge every prayer meeting. Like, did we nail it? Was it totally the Holy Spirit? Just realize that often, whether you know it or not, God was directing that meeting. You're in your, you know, bedroom at your desk and you're just You go into a season of repentance. You have no idea, but God's Spirit was directing you to do that, just to kind of clear the cache of your heart. Let's get all the cobwebs out. He leads you into repentance, and then all of a sudden He gives you a faith prayer. Oh, Lord, touch the whole city. It wasn't even your faith. God gave you the gift of faith in that moment. Then all of a sudden you're praying for the lost at the corporate prayer meeting. The Spirit directed you into that. So often He's praying through us. I think the biggest point is just make yourself available in prayer. Like if you have a consistent meeting with God, He knows you're going to be praying that hour or that half hour or at that place, and He'll begin to direct your heart. I used to kind of worry, like, Lord, what are You saying? Like, what if I miss it tonight? Like, I used to have all this pressure I put on myself, and I just, over the years, just learned to just lay all that aside and just kind of show up, just kind of start talking to the Lord, praying in the Spirit, and then things come to mind. I mean, the prayer I just prayed up here tonight, I just kind of sensed I should pray that. I may not know till heaven if that was right on or not, if that was exactly what I was supposed to do, but I don't worry about that anymore. I mean, there's been very few times where I just knew that I knew this is what we're praying into. Usually God just, I mean, it's just like when you decide, I think I'm going to go out and just talk to people about the Lord today. Like, the Lord's not mad if you don't do that every day, or, you know, I'm trying to help lift a little bit of condemnation is what I'm trying to do. Hopefully I'm helping there. Well, ask me questions if that wasn't clear. I just think, man, it's hard enough to get people praying, but then the people who do pray, they get so condemned. Like, did I nail it? Did I really pray with faith? Did I really repent hard enough? Did snot come out of my nose snotty enough? Like, Lord. And it's the Lord's like, oh, I love you. You hit it. You did it. You were there. Like, that's what matters. Okay. The more we know to press into the Spirit in prayer, the more we become sensitive to His heart, His thoughts, His words, His emotions, His direction, you just end up kind of by accident saying what He's saying, praying what He's praying, doing what He's doing, and then you're not even trying after a while. In fact, I think this, by general law, the harder we try, the more difficult we make it on ourselves, and the more we just go with it, kind of like we just let the wind blow by us, the more we just kind of go with what's going on, like the Lord just moves more. It just seems like that. Just seems like that. In 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to teach out of 1 Corinthians 14 for the next two Saturday encounter nights, one on prophetic, one on tongues, so that's coming up. Because I'm going to touch on it a little bit. I don't know which one's going to be first. First come first Saturday of the year. But 1 Corinthians 14, Paul breaks down prophetic and tongues more than anywhere else in the Bible. And he says something interesting. He says, if I pray in a tongue, if I use my tongues, he was baptized in the Spirit and had his speaking in tongues prayer language. He says, when I do that, my spirit's actually praying. Not my mind or my understanding. My spirit's praying. The Holy Spirit within my spirit is giving voice to prayers, and I don't know what they are. That's what speaking in tongues is. And Paul elaborates on that much more in that chapter. He says, and what I do is as I'm praying in tongues, I'm actually thanking God and declaring mysteries that no one knows. It's the coolest thing. Sometimes people tap into it and they get an interpretation, which is the gift of interpreting tongues. But he says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit's praying, but my understanding or my mind, I have no idea what I'm saying. It's unfruitful. So he says, there's this conclusion then. I pray with my spirit and I pray with my understanding. I pray in English and I pray in tongues. For him, it was Hebrew and tongues. Or he spoke a bunch of languages. Aramaic, Hebrew, maybe a little Greek on there just to impress the ladies. No, I'm just kidding. He stayed single. Okay. He got asked out a lot, but he said, man, I'm single for the Lord. Some of you are like, really? No, I'm teasing. He says, I even sing with my spirit. I sing in tongues and I sing with my understanding. This is a neat verse. Paul's saying the Spirit is giving voice through me in my prayers. So I want to encourage you guys, sing with your prayer language, pray with your prayer language, and sing with your common language and pray with your common language. There's four categories there. Jude says, this is how you build yourself up in your faith. Pray in the Spirit. And I think what he says there includes tongues, but doesn't limit it to tongues. He doesn't say pray in tongues. He says pray in the Spirit. I think it means praying in tongues, but I think it also means being led by the Spirit, being one who's directed by the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. The more we pray in the Spirit, the more we strengthen ourselves. Okay, so the Spirit prays for us, through us, and He also responds to our prayers. There is a link between being filled up, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and prayer. The more you pray consistently, the more you'll be consistently filled. And this is a prominent theme in the New Testament. Now, what's that mean? Like, you know, what's filled with the Spirit? Do I really need that? I mean, and what I would say is, what does, you know, being filled with the Spirit is a way of saying you have a heightened sensitivity to the Lord, or a heightened empowerment of God on your life, on your mind, your will, and your emotions, your life in general. The more you go to that place of prayer, the more you will experience regularly sensitivity to His voice, sensitivity to the gifts, being used in the gifts, and you're not sure even why. It's because prayer's connecting you to the things of the Spirit. The more you pray, the more He answers. In fact, the most pronounced I would see this, I still remember this fondly, there were many times, you know, for the Chi Alpha folks in here, you know, Monday night prayer. For many years, we would pray. I mean, they still do pray every Monday night. We would pray on Monday night, 6:30 to about 8, and then go evangelize on campus. I mean, we did this so many times. And the nights where we would pray 1.5, 2 hours, there was always more words of knowledge flowing, people being touched. Every time we did that, there'd be more happening. But the times where we're like, you know, let's just go out and evangelize. You know, we're just laying around, let's just do something. Not that you can't do that, but just less would happen, it seemed. It just seemed the times we put like 2 hours of just seeking God intensely, all of us together, crying out to the Lord, and then went and did ministry, just more seemed to happen. I still remember to this day, it is so clear. You know, this was a Monday night, we prayed and sought God, then we're going to go evangelize, and we're going to do this, and we're just going to be on fire for the Lord. And we stood in front of Olin Hall. Some of you know Olin Hall, the science area right on the quad. We stood on the ledge. It was like me, Jason Season, and a bunch of us. And we begin to preach the gospel at night. It was like 10 at night, 9 at night. Preach the gospel to people walking by, and many of them are inebriated, filled with alcohol. We were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with spirits. Wines and spirits and things. And I remember one time, someone got that finally. Thank you. I said, hey, you, over there, Jesus loves you. You know, I was just going for it. What'd you say to me? I was like, oh, no. What'd you say to me? This is what he says. And I go, Jesus loves you. And he just starts walking at me, man. What'd you say to me? I'm like, there's about to be a fight right now. I'm just trying to preach the gospel. I mean, it's getting real all of a sudden. And he came up really close. I mean, right up to the ledge. What'd you say? And I just knelt down and I said, bro, Jesus loves you, man. And he goes, yeah, that's what I thought you said. I was like, praise God. Right then, the spirit of prophecy breaks forth. And I begin to prophesy over his girlfriend. I think it's his girlfriend. And I just begin to prophesy over her. And she breaks down crying because it just nailed her. And then he's like, whoa, what's happening? And, you know, we just begin to say, like, Jesus is real. He knows your heart, man. He knows the secrets of your heart. You know, give yourself to him. And they're tipsy and kind of drunk and trying to minister to him. But it just, long story short, like, the more we would seek God and then do the stuff, the more that would happen. I just remember specifically saying, I know God's called you to be a singer. You're a frustrated singer. I can just see it on your life. I said that to her. And she's like, that is exactly where I'm at right now. How did you know? And the guy's like, how'd you know? And I just said, the Lord. But I was way more sensitive because we'd been in prayer. Anyway, just keep that in mind. You got a big event or something you're doing, get into prayer. Give him 2-3 hours of prayer. Just get in there. It might feel like you're eating cardboard, but then when you go out to minister, it's like the heavens open. And you're just like, wow, I can like hear God speaking. Like I know what he feels about people, and it just flows. And I'm not saying it's not like every time like that, but much more often. The more we pray, the more we're sensitive to him. I still remember clearly when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I don't know how old I was. I had just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, just began speaking in tongues, and I immediately began to have way more prophetic dreams. It was just like the switch turned on. I started speaking in tongues, way more dreams. And I was just like, wow, this is weird. I began to sense things about people. I began to feel like discernment. I didn't have words for it yet. I just everything just began to change real quick. The more you use your prayer language, the more the Spirit just releases on you. The more you pray, the more just the life of God's alive. Okay. I don't know where I left off there. We must press into the Spirit through prayer because without Him we're weak, we're vulnerable to temptation. Jesus said, your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak, go to prayer. I put one of the evidences that we're filled up with the Spirit is there's a boldness and a confidence in our walk with God. We begin to walk less in fear and less in timidity, more in the conviction. God loves me, actually. And we're bold in our faith. We're confident that He loves us. And I'm not saying more like confident personality. I mean like, you believe God really likes you. It's real to you. And when you believe that, you'll do anything for Him. If you really think, man, the Father loves me, it changes everything. You walk into your fears. You overcome that timidity. You do what God's called you to do. It says in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place shook. They were all filled. They spoke the word of God boldly. When they prayed, everyone, the whole building shakes, filled up, boldness. Now guys, why isn't the city shaking right now? Why aren't the people of God filled up? Why aren't there bold preachers in the land? If we don't pray, if we don't clearly walk out what Scripture says, we won't experience the fruit of it. I want the city of Peoria for God to be able to look down and say, they have prayed. I'm going to shake that place. I'm going to shake the gathering. I'm going to put my fire on them and give them boldness and fill them. I mean, I want to be filled up, guys. That's why I come in here, man. That's why I do prayer, man. I want God. I want God on my life. I mean, what's the alternative? Have God on your life or have nothing? Like, man, I want substance, man. I want the stuff. I want the Spirit. Okay, we'll end there. I think that brings us to the end there. Amen. I limit myself to just one half of a page anymore, or else it just goes way too long. And everybody said amen. I have done cell groups that have eclipsed the 2-3 hour mark. people were staring at me and I didn't have enough discernment or maturity to know what that stare meant yet. So I just limit myself. Okay. With that, we've got a few minutes for questions and answers. How'd I do, Jake? Thumbs up from Jake. It was not a double, it was just a single. Any questions? Going once. No one knows what to do because Ken doesn't have his hand up.
I have to go, Greg.
You don't have to. Feel free. How do you know if you're connecting to the Holy Spirit? I think many times you don't really know. I don't think you wait for some feeling. Or like, I think you put yourself in the right position. You're in the prayer meeting, and you're just beginning to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm here right now. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Then thoughts begin to come to your mind. Many times I'm feeling so barren, so I just get out the prayer list. And I just start on the very first point. Lord, I want to love you for real. And I just pray, and then all of a sudden it's like I feel it. So there's many ways I think you begin to connect, but try not to measure it. Like if I don't feel a certain way or if I don't try to measure it. Because I mean the full power of God's releasing as you pray or as you're singing. So I think number one, put yourself in the prayer environment. Don't be too hard on yourself. Like, oh man, I wasn't totally focused. My kids were doing this. You know, you're there and then just begin to exercise your will. Just begin to speak. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercies. Go into Thanksgiving, you know, or go into, you know, just go with what you're feeling. I am a firm believer in prayer lists. So often I am so feeling so dead, so every bad thing. And as soon as I get out that prayer list, it's like, oh, my prayer list for my wife. By the time I'm done with my prayer list for my wife, I like love her all over again. I mean, I was feeling nothing. And now I'm like, oh, I love this woman. I'm going to go home and do the dishes for her. You know, so much of being spiritual is just learning how to be practical. So, I mean, great question. And that's, I mean, you can connect to the Spirit throughout the day, just talk to Him, you know, but in a prayer meeting, just begin to talk, thank Him, stuff like that. There's very few times where I just felt the anointing. There's maybe five times in my whole 20 years of being a Christian, I literally felt the anointing. Maybe three. Where it was just so pronounced, I'm like, this is unreal. Like once when I was prophesying, once when I was preaching, and you just know God's doing something, but even if you feel it, you just do the same thing still. You know? Some people get all weird about it. It's just, God's just saying, I love you, I want you to feel me, but just do the same thing. You know? So, hopefully that makes sense. I'm really big into being like, low-key about the things of God, not being erratic, so that's kind of why I say that. Because, you know, some people think, the meeting was only meaningful if we all felt it and fell over. It's like, no, those are good and fun, but they mean just as much to God as when you felt nothing. In fact, the meetings where you felt nothing and still went for it, I think they move the heart of God because He knows you didn't feel a thing and you stuck with it. Anyway. I don't know if that's really true, but that's how I see it. Any other questions? Great question, Ken. Lord, anoint the prophetic team. May they connect to the Holy Spirit. Over here, we got anything? Questions. I'm trying to read hearts and minds here. Who looks the most inquisitive? I'll come back to you guys. Over here. Anything? All right. Holly, have you got anything? Okay. We got 1 minute. 1 minute. Kelsey, Carrie? Okay. Wow. It must have just been such a clear teaching. You're just like, we get it. What was that? Oh, well, all right. Trying to do a little better every week for Kelsey. Okay, well, let's pray, and then we'll get back into worship here. Far more important than any teaching is, though, just the worship of God. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're praying for us. You're praying through us. We thank you that you respond to our prayers. Lord, teach us prayer, God. Lord, I just pray tonight for a fresh impartation, a fresh filling of the Spirit on everyone here, on everyone who will hear this teaching through the recording. We pray for a fresh grace, Holy Spirit, a fresh ability to connect to you in prayer, God. Lord, come and fill us tonight. Lord, I pray that in this ministry, in the GP Hop, there'd be an anointing for prayer, a grace for prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, release your anointing on morning prayer, afternoon prayer, evening prayer. Lord, we pray for the grace to one day have a 24/7 prayer watch with worship. God, let there be such grace in the citywide church. Every church is praying. And the Spirit's moving and shaking the city and filling hearts and releasing power. Well, we say, do these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.